I'm Lindsay.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Joe from PopX Cast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
It's the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave. Featuring lots of geek talk about technology, movies, music, gaming, and more. And your first mic, Jason.
Yeah. Welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that has clinched the NFC North.
Whoop, whoop.
Way to go, Vikes. Man. Great game today. Great game. Good game of sport ball, right, Adam?
Absolutely. I missed it. I was at a family function for Christmas.
Vikings first, right, Dave?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I thought you were going to back me up there for a second. I was so silent.
No, the secret was I was adjusting my mic stand. I was adjusting my mic stand, and so I hit my mute button, and then you asked me a question, and I'm like, trying to unmute it quick enough.
So, how do I do this? Well, joining me in the virtual studio today is, again, Adam and usually Dave. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, how are you? All right, just me. I'm good. Great.
Dave, did you mute it again?
No, I didn't know if he had more coming, so I didn't want to talk over him. So
Dave's choking in the background again.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to be on your show anymore.
No.
Well, listeners, as always, we do have a great show planned for you today. Yes, we do, Adam. Stop it.
It is awesome.
Yep. Do we?
We do. Now, first, I'm asking this of everybody and my co-host here is, how does President-elect Dwayne Johnson sound? I think that sounds pretty good. What do you guys think?
It doesn't matter what you think.
Oh, that would be the best, man. I would see every single one of his addresses to the nation. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I should have really went in and sold it. I got a little stage fright there, and I was going to do the whole rock when he did it. That's what I hesitated, but...
When we get into the story here.
I got a little gun shy.
Now, fiber optic.
Fiber is good.
So last year. Mm-hmm. We got something better coming down the pipe here. And you all hold on to your shekels, all right?
Shekels.
Yeah, hold on to those shekels, because Atari Box pre-orders did not go live this past Wednesday like originally was going to happen. So we're going to cover that and figure out what the heck happened there. Thanks, Adam. But first, let's go on over to usually Dave for a riddle.
So last week, guys, we ran this one past you. I think Adam knows the answer, because if you were listening closely during last week's show, Adam seemed to have the riddle figured. But it goes like this. Tabitha likes cookies, but not cake. She likes mutton, but not lamb, and she likes okra, but not squash. Following the same rule, will she like cherries or pears? Now, did we have any listener submissions?
No. Were we supposed to?
Well, yeah, because we didn't answer it. We've been asking people send them in, so I don't know. I'm fearing for the longevity of this riddle segment. I know some people like to hear it, but...
Let's kill it!
If we're not seeing people carrying it over... it might be on life support. Might just trim that down and get right to the main topics of the show. But I have an idea to replace it with, possibly, that if we go that avenue, it might be a fun one. So,
cool. All right. Well, I have the answer to this. You know, you said, oh, I think Adam might have it, but no, Dave, Jason has it. And I think I said last week, I think I got this.
I think we should let Jason try this out.
Yes. Hit it, Jason.
I'm going to say that whoever the name is of the person you mentioned.
That'd be Tabitha.
Tabitha, I think she likes cherries instead of pears. Mm-hmm. And the rule that I went by here was every set had one word that was two syllables and one word that was one syllable. So following that rule, I decided she would like cherries instead of just pears.
Okay. So, Adam, what did you think?
I concur as well. Although, when I was first looking at it, I thought it was when there's two letters. You got OO and cookies. You've got TT and mutton. You got RR and cherries.
Good
but
point.
Okra doesn't follow that rule, so that wouldn't have been.
So the real answer is she likes pears because she is a fan of savory food and not sweets.
Oh, shut it.
No, you guys are correct.
Yes, because cookies is definitely a savory food.
Yeah. Like, it is in my menu.
She only likes things that were made with monosodium glutamate.
And definitely try to find somebody that likes okra. I dare you. I dare you.
I've had it a few times, but.
Yeah, well, I'm right. And
you both are
Adam
right.
is right.
Yeah.
And every one of our listeners was incorrect because they did not send in an answer.
Yep.
Even if they thought it right, you were wrong.
Yeah. Doesn't count unless we hear that answer. So this week, we'll give this one more week, I think. What do you say?
This
one
is
more
it.
Riddle.
And we're going to stand by this, too. If we do not get any responses for this one, it's done. And now it's back to usually Dave's joke hour.
Ooh,
we're going to be doing that.
That's kind of fun.
Nope, it's not going to be a joke hour because I've decided I'm just not that funny. But what should I tease what we
no,
what I
Dave,
want to
everyone else decided that.
Well, that's true. I just agreed with the masses. I'm
just
a sheep.
Kidding.
As you guys said,
no,
I'm a sheep,
I'm
right?
I'm joking.
No, what I'm thinking would be kind of fun, although it wouldn't kick off the show, but a topic maybe mid-show to replace the riddle and just break up the topics a little bit is maybe making some version of a little digital soup, Would You Rather? And we'll leave it there. But this week, the final, potentially final riddle, you guys, it's up to you guys to save it, goes like this. I am taken from a mine and shut up in a wooden case from which I am never released, and yet I am used by almost everybody. What am I?
Huh. Lots to think about that one. Jason's probably got this.
My head hurts.
I got this.
No, I do not have it. I will think about it over the week, and hopefully we'll get some answers in from our listeners.
Gotcha.
If somebody wants to send in that riddle, send it over to Jason at digitalsuitpodcast.com. Don't be shy. Come on.
Right.
Let's hear it, guys.
Let's hear it. Save the riddle if you want to do
it. For the boys.
Sorry.
As Dave and Adam have probably noticed over the last couple of weeks, we have actually been getting quite a few little submissions into our Windscribe giveaway.
Yeah.
A lot of everyday carry. Most of them have accompanied pictures to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some have just, mentioned what it is. But yeah, we got this great giveaway going on. We're getting a lot of entries. And Dave, tell us what it's all about.
Well, basically, we've got this big giveaway. We're giving away one lifetime subscription to the Windscribe VPN service.
Phenomenal.
And a second annual subscription to the Windscribe VPN service. And all you have to do to enter is head over to digitalsuitpodcast.com. You'll see the post right on top of our page. We do have links to that posted on all of our social media as well. And just simply snap a photo, lay out everything that's in your essential everyday carry, and snap a photo, have fun with it, give us a brief description of what it is that you carry, and plug that information in on the super simple form right there on the post. Send that over, and your name will be automatically entered into the drawing. This is a random drawing, so we're not judging anything or picking our favorites.
We are. just kidding.
Right. No, we want to have fun with it, and the more people that enter, the better. And so we are going to let this run. Everything needs to be submitted to us by December 31st.
Oh, it's getting close.
Getting close. So we've got this show and next show where we're going to plug it, and then we're into the first of the year. We'll announce the winner on the episode that will go live January 2nd on that Tuesday, which should be episode 55, I believe. And so... absolutely. Get your entries in. Head over to digitalsuitpodcast.com and check that post right on the top of the page. But time is running out, so hurry up. Don't wait.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave. Mm-hmm. So, guys, you might want to beware of sites cryptojacking your system. We just read an article on sites that are cryptojacking your system while you view their content in an effort to force you into mining for cryptocurrency on their behalf. So
this is crazy.
There's a lot of popular video sites that are where users are being unwittingly forced to mine cryptocurrency,
right,
according to a report on the practice of so-called crypto jacking. So this includes video sites like OpenLoad, Streamango, Rapid Video, and Online Video Converter, all of which I have never used.
I haven't even heard of any of those.
And they allegedly are loading mining software onto visitors' computers and making them generate tokens for the Bitcoin-like cryptocurrency Monero, according to the security firm AdGuard.
Right.
Well, that sucks. So since you're on our site, we might as well use your CPU power to mine. I mean, it's kind of a brilliant way to do it. You're just, anytime anybody visits your site, you're loading up your little client and getting to use their CPU to do some crunching. But that's
kinda
pretty
like crypto at home, huh?
It's pretty underhanded.
Yeah, very sneaky and backdoor. And you know what's scary is that there's more and more reports coming out every single day about new sites being found. Back on November 8th, even at that point, over on the Ars Technica website, at that point, they'd already found more than 2,500 sites that were doing this. And now some of these bigger video sites that we've got linked in this article in the show notes have been added to that, along with some others in the meantime, since we found the article and put it in the show notes just at the end of last week here. So it is something to watch, you know. So if you really see your system start slowing down when you're visiting a website, watching video content, anything like that, yep, something to look for. Go check it out and see if you can tell what's happening.
Well, the strangest thing I was going to say is I went to whitehouse.gov and I actually got hijacked too, and it started doing it wasn't cryptocurrency though. All of a sudden, it started making me make rubles. It was very weird.
So there are some discussions as to whether or not security protocols to block cryptojacking can be or should be built directly into browsers. So it's interesting. It's every day there's another vector of attack that we need to worry about, which kind of sucks. But I tell you what, I used to think that fiber was a really important part of my diet, but now I'm thinking I need more power.
More power. Why? So they can mine more?
Yes. crap segue. Forget fiber-based internet. Power lines may be the future. Talk to your senator today about power lines. AT&T is testing a new service to provide high-speed internet that they claim is going to be faster than the current fiber internet speeds,
right,
all while delivering the connection via power lines. This is something that we see on a small scale. You can get some networking devices in your house to utilize your electrical lines to transmit data, but this could be a potential huge step forward for high-speed internet in rural areas. And I absolutely agree with that, because just getting fiber laid out down the roads involves conduit and lots of money. What's your guys' take on this?
They're saying it's faster than fiber, though, huh? That's the thing that surprises me there, because fiber optics, I mean, nothing's faster than light.
Well, they're saying faster than the 1 gigabit per second consumers can currently get through fiber internet service, which uses high-frequency airwaves traveling along power lines for the new service.
So what the limitation on the fiber is based on the connecting hardware on each end as well as the actual line. So there is still data loss when it comes to light. And there, over length, depending on the type of fiber you've got, 1 gig can be the cap. Obviously, different fiber, you know, multi-mode, single mode, how long you're going with it and everything, you can do 10 gig and way up above it. But we're talking kind of consumer fiber internet service.
Right.
So 1 gig is probably the cap there.
Right.
I hope I'm not speaking up. I hope I'm describing that properly. But everybody's got power running to their house, though. That's kind of the cool thing.
Well, and you look at how many communities, I mean, I don't know about across the U.S., but I know here in the state of Minnesota, it's a focus, Adam, as you know, where they're trying to get high-speed internet to the rural communities. And I know where I live, my parents, they're waiting. They ran the fiber lines last year, and still nothing. I mean, the fiber's in. Everything's ready to go. They just got to flip the switch and turn it on and let these people connect, but it's still not turned on. They're still not going with it. Yet, you know, that took them the better part of 6 months to get that run, because they're a good half hour away from any semblance of a town.
Right.
You know, and you look at this being able to set this up and essentially just use what's already there with these power lines. And, you know, I'm sure they got to add some sort of hardware to it, you know. But
yeah, there's investment on that infrastructure.
Right. But I'd assume it's a much simpler process to get that installed and in place and to the consumers as well. And probably much less. I mean, the initial investment might be more in the hardware and infrastructure, but probably much less cost in the running, you know, in the actual getting it to the consumer.
It's got to be way cheaper than actually laying fiber, because, right, I mean, not only Do you have the machinery that's going to have to be digging up the earth? You got to pay all the people that are doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be cheaper.
Union breaks.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't get about the article on routers that we're reading. It says it's using high frequency airwaves that travel along power lines. What the heck does that mean?
Wi-Fi, dude.
Airwaves. High frequency airwaves. Okay. Well, it's like sound. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, there is. If you can get close safely to a power line, you know,
he's going
to
say the hum you hear coming from the Transformers.
You hear that? That's Netflix.
Yeah. No, you hear a hum.
Billy's on YouTube again. It's really whining.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, though, when electricity is moving, isn't that essentially just the charging of the atoms in the air that is going to help that travel?
Well, electrons are moving down a wire or some kind of conductor, whether it's air or copper is usually
right. I'm thinking maybe that's what they're kind of referencing, even though it might be kind of poorly worded, because that makes it almost sound like Jason said Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is just poorly worded by this article.
Which Wi-Fi might not be far off, though, because think about it this way. Now, we don't know this, obviously. We're just speculating, but what if when they set this up, they've got their main power hubs, you know, that power the power lines. And you're going to see those transfer stations every so often here and there. And then what they do is on every pole, every power pole or every other power pole, something like that, they essentially just attach a small box of some sort that's amplifying and capturing and passing that essentially Wi-Fi signal through and just using the lines as a conductor and keeping it tight right there. But the one cool thing, if they did figure out something like that, is that when you see power lines running, typically they're running right along roads all the time. And it'd be sweet if they could do that and somehow enable it where you've got full-time Wi-Fi access to your internet wherever you're driving as well.
Interesting.
I'm just future thinking, practicing for our future episode.
Yes.
Reading a little bit deeper into this,
what pole has its box?
You just like to throw those softballs at me, and I'm trying to keep it family friendly, so I won't say it.
So this article that we're reading on Reuters also says AT&T and Verizon, they've also been testing 5G internet, in which the last leg is delivered via radio signal to homes using high frequency airwaves known as millimeter wave spectrum, which I had to Google.
The old MWS. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Classic MWS.
Classic
extremely
MWS.
High frequency. So this is just a completely different different frequency range here.
Right.
I wonder if they're talking about the same thing. I'm not sure how this works, but it looks cool, and I'm all for additional possibilities and ways of getting people connected.
Especially at high speeds, because, Adam, you and I both suffer. I live in town, but it's a small town here in Minnesota. And,
I was
you're
born
just
in a small town.
You were
probably die in that same small town.
Yeah.
Crappy internet service here in that small town. Good enough for a day.
But I mean, even in town, the internet speeds here are a fraction of what Jason's getting out in a more, larger city type of area.
Yep.
And if they have options like this, which is going to help bring that high speed here very easily and conveniently and hopefully relatively, similar expense to what we're paying now, it'd be awesome. I mean,
you know what? I'd like to research this a little bit further and bring this back to the show just as a little bit more on how this would work, because I feel like I don't know enough about it, and this article isn't really telling a lot about the technology too much.
And,
so,
and I feel like out of the three of us, you're the one that's going to have the day-to-day work background to understand said research best and bring us a report back. So we're going to give you the Digital Soup research grant.
Yes.
For this homework. Doesn't involve any money. No, it's not homework. We're giving you a grant for you to go research and bring back some great info. And trust me, we'll pay you with lots of like, hey, thanks for that info.
Perfect.
Well done,
Perfect.
Attaboy.
Man.
Oh, boy.
Maybe with all that grant money, I can bring Google and Apple streaming devices back to Amazon.
Well, you could, but someone beat you to it already.
What? Tell me more.
So,
tell me more. Tell me more.
Would you like
to
know more? What movie is that from? It's they're fighting the bugs. Starship Troopers.
Yeah, Starship Troopers. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, we talked last week about, was it last week? Yeah, last week about YouTube being blocked on the Amazon Fire TV and show devices.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, and this was all kind of coming down to this argument where Amazon refused to sell the Google Chromecast and some of the Google products, Google Home and things like that. So they've been battling back and forth. And it seems that now they've kind of come to some sort of agreement, and Amazon will now be selling both Google and Apple streaming services back on Amazon as a direct competitor to their own, you know, Fire Stick situation. But kind of, you know, a nice, I don't know what you call it, development in this little battle that's going on, because as we've said many times, in the end, it's the consumers that suffer. Yep. And with these companies, you know, kind of appearing to make up a little bit and allow this to happen, hopefully that means that more of us can view the content we want to view where we want to view it, essentially. So as of the time of this article, Amazon and Google devices are still showing as currently unavailable on Amazon. Apple and Google devices, but for the streaming stuff, you can sign up to get notified when they're available. Hopefully it's very soon. So something to keep an eye on, just more, kind of a more of a follow-up to last week, actually. Right. But.
And it is, kind of wondering why they did this. I mean, I understand why they stopped selling it back in 2015, because they are direct competitors.
Right.
You know, why would you want to sell, you know, some other company's product that is actually going to take money away from you?
Right.
So with that said, and this article does not say why they've changed their mind on this.
Mm-mm.
The only thing I could think of is they must have signed some type of really good, percentage deals for Amazon to actually bring these products back to their stores.
Right.
That's the only, I mean, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're not like, oh, come on back, guys. I got you. You can get right up front here, man. You can be right in front of my own Amazon device.
Yeah, right.
Is that how they talk?
That's how they talk over there at Amazon. I'm from Amazon.
My name's Jeff Bezos. Check me out. How you like my nah?
How you like my nah?
Oh, no.
Wow. But Google's not just, I mean, they're all over the place, man. They're not just going back on Amazon's site. They're actually doing some really crazy things with, some apps having to do with photo and videos, right? Sorry, Adam. I had to do it.
No. That's a great segue.
Yeah. No, Google is. They've kind of decided to dip their toes into the photo and video world. Now, I will say, these all three look potentially fun to play with. They are right now, I believe, only on Android. And they've got three new experimental photo apps.
Suck it, iOS. What? Yeah, I'm sorry.
They will be coming. But the thing is these don't seem to be the type of apps that are going to be necessarily everyday use case. Although the one that caught my eye, which is why I put this in there, I'm going to save it for last. So the first one they're calling is an app called Selfismo. It's basically a selfie assisting app to help you get better.
Are you
selfies.
An aspiring narcissist?
Yeah.
Check out the Selfismo app. It's all
get
about
this.
You.
From what they're saying, you you hold this app, so you've got the phone pointing at you. It will automatically recognize every time you've changed your pose and stopped moving, and it will trigger the shutter yourself. Plus, popping up on the screen for encouragement, it's gonna tell you those old photographer cliches where, you know, you always saw the guy, beautiful, fabulous, darling, that's excellent, superb, keep it going, yeah, movement, oh, it's so awesome. All of these things, which, as a photographer, I can tell you honestly, I have never, ever done.
Whatever.
And I don't think too many people do.
Dave's actually did it last summer when you took pictures of my family.
Yeah, right.
Dave's out in the woods taking pictures of trees like, work with me, oh, man. Yeah.
Show me
gorgeous,
the attitude.
Darling. Gorgeous.
No, yeah. But
let the wind, give me a little pout.
Let the wind
pout.
Rustle you.
Wait, where's my wind? Come on, assistants. You're sleeping on the job. No. So this is one that it basically then takes it, puts all the photos that you took while you're using the app into a little contact sheet, which is it's a fake contact sheet. It's something they used to use in the film days. But and that way you can choose, you know, their favorites or save it or share it as one. Like I say, kind of gimmicky, not something people are going to use every day. There's another app called Scrubbies. This one actually is available only for iOS. And I should clarify, all three of these apps are available in different places. I said I know only on Android, but the Selfie app is both iOS and Android. Scrubbies is iOS only.
This sounds like a late night ad for like some kind of like the Snuggie. Is this, try the new Scrubbies.
Right. Right. The
you put them on
generic,
your feet. Scrub your floor. Scrubbies.
That's the one. Shuffle around your house. Sell it to the elderly.
Neighbor thinks you're a bitch. Scrubbies.
Yeah, can't operate your mop and broom anymore. Put on some Scrubbies.
Try Scrubbies.
Yeah. And, you know, this app to me was not too interesting because it's essentially letting you create a looped video, like much like Instagram's Boomerang app. Only difference is that this one you have full control of the movement, speed, and direction. So essentially you take your video clip and you swipe your finger back and forth on the screen to create the movement you want and, you know, have full control over the final output. Now, the third app that they're putting out, this was actually the first one in the story. It's called Storyboard. Now, this is the one only available on Android at this point. This looks pretty fun because what it does is you'll take a video clip and it will basically analyze your video, grab the still frames out of the video at what it deems the most interesting points, and then it essentially lays them out in a single page comic book layout. And then, you know, applies that comic book effect to it. So it looks like a comic book. And that's the one.
Can you
that,
add dialogue to it?
It doesn't say that you can do that in the examples. I'm not seeing that.
That would be
but
cool.
Wouldn't
make
it
make a story?
Yeah, that one just seems like a lot of fun to play with. I mean, it's not one, I guess, that I consider vital to any workflow. But the examples they're giving, it looks pretty darn good, especially when it's the effect that you're giving it that's basically a black and white ink, you know, line drawing that hasn't been colored yet. Very, very cool looking. So
now, I wonder how the algorithm figures out what's interesting. Like, oh, looks like
my
he panned from
it's
himself to his cat. We're going to use that as a screenshot. This is
right.
Amazing.
Well, and they give an example here of a video, a guy doing a simple skateboard trick, you know, just scooting along and doing a little bit of a jump, and looks like it's picking those moments where he's, you know, just jumping in midair, maybe just before he starts, that it's going to kind of show the start, middle, and end of the action of whatever's happening in the scene. There's another example up above that's not animated as far as movement wise. It's a guy sitting down to play his piano and got a handful of different, you know, clips laid out in a comic book page there. So very interesting looking though. One that I'd love to be able to play with, but it's unfortunately on Android only. So,
You know what else?
You just got to buy yourself an Android.
I can download it on my wife's phone. She just got the new Samsung Galaxy 8. I could throw it on there and play around with it. That'd be
nice.
The way to go.
She'll hate you for it.
Hey, you know what we won't be? You know what we won't be playing anytime soon? Atari Box.
Yeah.
But before you get into that, Adam, hold on. No one's gonna seg block me. Oh, I seg blocked myself.
You did it. Self seg blocking.
So I received this email.
Yeah, he does a lot of self. Never mind.
Let's not go there. I received this email, and so did Jason. The pre-orders for Atari Box were going to start earlier in last week, and then
Wednesday.
We got an email saying, "Oh, sorry, it's not ready yet." So we don't know when we're getting the Atari Box. Not that I actually have one on order, but
no.
They said it's taken longer than expected to create the platform and the ecosystem that the Atari community deserves.
Yeah. It's what the Atari community deserves, not what it needs.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not sold on this.
Well, we got to see, you know, the stylized look of it. I like it. And I think Adam agreed. It does look pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah.
I am excited to see, you know, some actual games, you know, actually see, you know, something in motion, you know, even some stills to start out with would be nice, but to
like
actually
Pong.
See some gameplay stuff. Oh, yeah. Pong 2018.
Missile Command. Centipede.
Here's the thing, though. I'm with you guys. I think this looks very, very beautifully designed, you know, very cool looking. And, you know, even if the gameplay comes out and it's a decent gameplay, I mean, we talked about the Switch last week about being just good enough. I don't think it's going to cut it with Atari, at least for me, because we still don't know, is this going to be, I know they said a mix of classic and modern gaming. Those modern games are going to be the one that's going to have to sell it for me. When you're looking at, yes, it looks cool, but it doesn't look $250 to $300 cool to me. when I could spend that same $300 and get a PS4. You know what I mean? And
yeah, that's so, what's going to be a tough sell there for them, is because, yeah. I mean, you if it's going to be $300, if somebody has $300 and they want to get a gaming system, they're going to go for the, you know, the sure thing, which right. would be either a PS4 or an Xbox One. So, this is going to be for somebody that has every system and has some nostalgia, you know, because they're older like us. So they're older gentlemen.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I don't have much Atari nostalgia, to be honest.
Atari 2600, very first system I ever owned, 1980. So,
the article I'm reading on Engadget about this, which really just kind of echoes the email we got, has a comment from user Mr. Real. And it says, well, that sucks. I had $300 ready to pre-order because I like to gamble, and the fact that we don't know what games will be available and it's overpriced and will most likely flop excites me. Ah, well, off to the casino I go. that's my perfect. Favorite comment on here.
Yeah, that is perfect because, I mean, on one hand, you look at it and you hope that they're, you know, truly and sincerely wanting to create this ecosystem for their Atari fans and the community to give them something where it is going to be a serious contender, and it's not going to be just, you know, a bunch of classic games with maybe five or six new games, you know, at most, and nothing, nothing showing any promise of long-term development. But that comment is perfect. It's just a gamble. And I've actually heard, and I haven't been able to verify this, but a lot of talk that the pre-order system, that's going to go through Kickstarter.
Probably. So, it seems like most things are going through there now.
Which I don't trust that either.
Kickstart my heart.
I mean, Kickstarter I trust fine. I mean, you know what the head is getting into. But
sounds,
I mean,
it's pretty iffy.
Yeah, as far as a major company, I mean, Atari, you know, Nintendo, any of these companies that are going to put out this new game system for a big dollar amount, and it's backed by the actual company, you know, Atari in this case, which has a reputation and a name, and they're going to go out and Kickstarter.
When's Disney going to buy Atari? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Probably
because we need to put some money behind it there. That'd be awesome.
This, of course, is one of the biggest news stories out there transitioning off the Ataris, that Disney officially acquired most of Fox in a over $66 billion buyout.
Yeah.
Holy Hannah. That's huge. So they bought Star Wars. Now they've got Marvel, and now they've got Fox's huge film catalog, too. So who wants to take this one? They got a lot of stuff out of this deal.
Well, with the Fox deal too, wouldn't they get, you know, some type of, what do you want to call it? They get the rights to the NFL to show some games or something, right? Doesn't Fox have some type of deal with the NFL?
They do, because Fox shows a lot of the NFC games, but I'm not sure how the NFL is going to play into it, because in a situation like that, they probably will just leave the games on, you know, branded Fox channels, I assume, unless they bring them over to ABC, but ABC already has its own programming. So I'm not sure exactly. And ABC has Monday Night Football through their ESPN, which is all part of Disney.
So here's what they got. So they took all debt owed by Fox, including 20th Century Fox, Fox Searchlight Pictures, Fox 2000, 20th Century Fox Television, FX Productions, Fox 21, FX Networks, National Geographic Partners, Fox Sports Regional Networks, Fox Networks Group International, and Star India. It also takes over Fox's stake in Hulu, Sky, and Endemol Shine Group. I don't know what that one is, but
yeah, I don't know.
That's a fairly tremendous buyout. Now, what's not included?
Fox Mulder.
Fox Mulder. Fox and the Hound. No, they already had Fox.
I just wish
Hound.
I knew what the Fox said.
Fox is going to spin out some assets into a new company. That includes Fox News, Fox Broadcasting Networks and Stations, Fox Business Networks, FS1, FS2, and the Big Ten Network.
Yeah. So college sports are going to stay on the rebranded Fox, but there's one, I don't know, there's a lot of concern over this, probably rightfully so, because people are worried that, look, all we have now is the big blockbusters. And when you look at the box office numbers, already it's a pretty large chunk that Disney has out there. And then they're adding Fox to it, which is going to give them an automatic huge market share of the box office, you know, as far as movies goes. But at the same time, I guess I don't know. To me, it feels like maybe that's a good opportunity for a lot of these you know, when we were growing up, we had kind of the B grade movies, you know, that would come out, and you don't see that anymore because it's all just big blockbusters. And maybe now
Canon Productions.
Yeah. I mean, maybe now it's an opportunity to start seeing more of these movies that are coming out that are really good stories, but because they're not a big superhero movie, you know, or Star Wars or something like that, they're just not getting the play. So who knows on that end of it?
Interesting.
You never know.
But boy, between Marvel and Star Wars alone, it's tremendous. Now, I know a lot of people hate the fact that Disney owns Star Wars.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's ruining this and that. And we'll talk a little bit about the new Star Wars movie coming up here. But
Was Mickey Mouse in the new Star Wars?
Twice.
Was he?
Wow.
Yep. He was a Sith Lord.
The real surprise. Spoilers. Real surprise is when we see Goofy remove the mask that we thought was Kylo Ren. Oh, that was a twist. Well, you know what the big reason people are so excited about this for, bringing it to the geeky side of things, is because now this means we can officially see the X-Men, the Avengers, the Fantastic Four, Deadpool, all of these characters in the same universe for once. And that's very exciting. As if we didn't have enough, you know, characters to keep track of in Infinity War. And I'm not necessarily advocating for a giant movie with 500 characters in it, but to be able to do some of these smaller stories that we would see, like the Hulk versus Wolverine stories, or, you know, a lot of these really epic comic book stories where it involved crossovers between those different groups, that would be that. I mean, I'm excited for that. Jason, here's one that you might be excited about, because with Disney now owning Fox, technically, I believe that means they own the rights to Firefly.
Oh, that's a great show.
That would be cool
show.
If they bring that back.
Yeah.
It
could mean, I don't know about a show. Could be a new show, because they're going to need content.
Some more movies would be awesome.
Yep. Right. And I think, more movies or more shows. Because remember, I think the real basis behind this purchase was not for Disney to be able to do crossover superhero movies. It's to make money and get a bigger catalog, because remember, they have said they are going to be releasing their own Netflix equivalent streaming platform.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And this is a way where, when you look at what they acquired with all of the Fox programming, The Simpsons and, you know, X-Files from back, all of these other things, when they acquire that, number one, they pull that stuff from Hulu, from Netflix and their competitors, and they also just boosted hugely their own library, basically. And so if they're looking at it, chances are they're going to want to look into that original programming as well to compete with Amazon and Hulu and Netflix and the rest. So Firefly could be one that's on the table to say, you know what, this had a great fan base, people loved it, let's bring it back as our own new original once their own streaming system hits. So
I love the show. Did you guys both see it?
Oh, yeah.
All the series?
The abrupt ending I hated, but because they just canceled the series. And Serenity was good.
And I totally loved the theme song.
Yeah.
I mean, every time it came on, I would sing it.
Think about this, too. It just occurred to me. How many excellent TV shows have we all watched that it's the Fox model. They make a show that does great for a season and a half. Everyone loves it, and they cancel it. How many shows have suffered to the Fox axe that were excellent shows that could possibly now, because they would be property in this purchase, that we could possibly see come back with new seasons, new stories?
Was True Calling on Fox?
True Calling, I believe, was. That might have been CW, but I'm not sure.
I hated that they just canceled that, and we didn't get to see
what Kevin... There was True Calling, Dollhouse.
And I think, realistically, though, we can't expect that this stuff is going to happen just because they own it.
No, but it's potentially back on the table, where they might want to look at it, especially if the main... I mean, this is the downside to it, though.
Opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. But if they decide to do it just to help boost that catalog, my only hope is that they do it with a serious intent, not just to say, hey, we'll get people over here with a crap new version of Firefly, for example, you know, until people realize that the new version sucks.
Well, they're bringing back Roseanne. They can definitely bring back Firefly.
And that
seriously,
is so,
Roseanne.
Yeah, that is so bizarre. I grew up watching that show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And when you watch that show, you remember how it ended, right? Roseanne?
Not really. I mean, I know I watched a bunch of those, but I can't remember how it ended. Didn't he die or something?
Yeah, he had a massive heart attack, and they did some kind of thing where it's like, if I remember right, and this has been a long time, so listeners, you may remember better, but they basically made it so that the entire show, the entire series, was nothing but kind of his mix of his life flashing before his eyes and her trying to process the fact that her husband just died. And now I guess they're going to have to, of course, you know, if they're bringing it back, they're going to have to, they're doing some different stuff.
I don't think I ever saw the end.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
That's exactly how Will and Grace ended too, wasn't it?
I forget. I didn't watch that.
I never watched.
You know what? The Simpsons predicted this Disney Fox deal back in 98.
Yes, they did.
Oh, get out of here.
They legit. Did.
Whatever.
So they had an episode in the
as if
wrong episode, Jason. Come back to it right now. They had an episode where Homer becomes friends with Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, and there's a screenshot of 20th Century Fox logo, and it says a division of Walt Disney Company on the billboard.
Absolutely,
it's pretty awesome.
It was back in, when was that episode? I know I saw that.
98.
Yeah, November 98. And it's crazy to think that was
Dave was 13.
No, 98. That was, I was around 20. But that was their 10th season.
Adam was 13.
Yeah.
Fake.
No, think about that, though. The Simpsons in 1998, which is just about 20 years ago, was in already 10 seasons in at that time.
Another example of life imitating art, guys.
I mean, this is crazy. And the Simpsons have had quite a few predictions that they've gotten right. I don't have the list in front of me, but I know they have quite a few different times predicted the future with things like smartwatches and you know, number of different things. So
oh, yeah. One of my favorite episodes had you know, Mo the bartender.
Yep, yep.
I don't know what they were complaining about, but he's like, "What has technology ever done for us? TV off." And then the TV shuts off. Or what has science ever done for us, or something
right.
like that. That's great.
Yeah, I've got, this is back in 2013. I've got an article from BuzzFeed, and it's saying 21 times The Simpsons bizarrely predicted the future. And this was in 2013. Everything from deformed fruit and vegetables, from nuclear plants, voting machine fraud, you know, entire trees being stolen. I mean, there was so, you know, so many different things.
The baby killing Mr. Burns. Oh, spoilers, sorry.
Oh. Yeah.
So did they ever predict The Rock becoming possibly the president?
Oh, I don't know.
The Rock?
Well, like you said in the show opener, so sounding surprised at this point is a moot point. But The Rock might run for presidente in 2020.
They teased that he might have done it, remember, this last election, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what's his platform? Do we know anything about it other than you can smell what he's cooking?
He wants to get rid of all jabronis.
It's a jabroni-free zone.
Yeah. We know he's got millions and millions of voters.
He lays the smack down on the Russians.
And he will look much better than Putin riding a horse shirtless.
That is true.
Why are you even thinking about that, Dave?
Well, I'm just thinking The Rock. I mean, yeah. He's a specimen. Might be a steroid-built specimen.
I loved, remember when Barack Obama was in office and Saturday Night Live, you know, The Rock hosted, and he did, what was it? Oh, my gosh.
Wasn't he, is that where he teamed up with Tom Hanks?
Oh, I don't know about that, but he would turn into the Hulk. But no, what did they call it? What did they call it? You guys, okay.
I can't remember.
The Rock Obama.
Okay, but yeah, I think so. Whenever Obama got angry, he turned into The Rock, and it was hilarious. Oh. I described it so well. I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna nice look going. It up. But I know the one I was thinking of was, and this was more recent. I think it. It was a SNL skit when The Rock was hosting where they were going to have Dwayne Johnson and Tom Hanks announce their 2020 presidential run. His quote, I guess, was, "When it comes to politics, we need more poise and less noise." So I don't know. I mean, here's the thing about it. He would get a ton of votes, I'm sure, from his fans. I think he'd have a hard uphill battle just because We've seen wrestlers take office before.
We've seen actors become presidents, though. See, there is a precedent for that.
True. There's a precedent for the president.
it would be interesting to see, but I would just love to see like how he would have to rein it in for his debates, because you know everyone would want to see him come out there and cut a rock promo for all of his presidential debates.
Somebody says something he doesn't like, he just gives them that one eyebrow.
Yeah, eyebrow raises, and you know he cuts them off. Like we joked at the beginning of the show, he asks him a question and then cuts him off. It doesn't matter what.
And hopefully,
you think,
he drops,
you know,
like a people's elbow on somebody. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, people, you know, people, the fans would want to see something like that. But you know, that'll never happen because it would immediately kill any chance he has of winning. So he'd have to play this very straight laced.
Well, think about this though, Dave. What party do you think he would be for? I mean, being in Hollywood and everything, I'd say he'd be a Democrat.
He'd run Democrat.
And
liberal, yeah.
There are millions in the U.S. right now that are, you know, just disenfranchised with the Republican Party right now. If I use that term incorrectly, I'm not sure. But basically dissatisfied with the Republican Party.
Right.
And, you know, I could see, you know, some charismatic, you know, Democrat coming up, you know, saying all the right things. I mean, that's basically what a lot of people thought Trump was doing. He was anti-government. Right. He was anti-politician. He was saying what the people felt. And that's basically what won him the election. Then we found out, you know, what he was all about. But anyways, I could see going from Trump where The Rock would be like a huge step up. I mean, it's still not the politicians that people are tired of, but it's not some 70-year-old sexist crackpot either.
Well, we don't know if The Rock would be a step up. We don't know anything
about
his platform.
I hung out with him.
But
that's what I was going to say. What would you predict would be like his
Tooth Fairy? He'd be like the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, no, every candidate has that, you know, like the issue that they're going to fix, you know, that's their thing they run on. What could you see The Rock doing though? I mean,
and
he's
I will bring back the WCW.
Yeah. He's going to bring back Firefly.
No, he'll bring back the F in WWF and steal it from
the World Wildlife Fund.
World Wildlife.
Yeah.
So he spoke at the 2000 Republican National Convention, but then he attended the Democratic Convention the same year.
Yeah.
And now he's a registered independent.
So maybe he runs. So,
we don't know what's up with him. It could be something just completely different where it's, hey, you know what? I don't care what these guys are saying here or there. This is what I'm thinking. And if you agree with it, vote for me.
I think would be entertaining to see this.
Oh, it'd definitely be entertaining.
Did you guys see any more of his movie with Rampage that's coming out?
No, I haven't seen any more trailers, just that one.
I know there was. I saw the trailers for it at the start of a couple movies recently.
Okay, was it different or the same one?
I don't remember because I know when I watched the other one, it was one of those cases you lay down, throw headphones in bed before you fall asleep. And I'm not sure if I fell asleep before the end of it or not. But it looks good on the big screen. I've got to say that.
I think it'll be interesting.
2/3 of us have seen Star Wars.
Yeah, shut it.
And and the other third's going to.
Yeah, we're going to. And you know, Adam's got some notes here. We don't want to spoil it or really get into it yet until Jason sees it, which will hopefully be soon. You know, I guess listeners, since we haven't done this yet, we haven't recorded anything yet, and we're kicking around plans. We're going to talk just briefly about it here, but one of the ideas we've kicked around is doing a special bonus episode, basically, that's going to be a full-on spoiler-filled Star Wars Last Jedi. I won't call it a review, but just a fun nerd out session, you know, geek out session about the movie. What we liked, what we didn't, theories, thoughts, all that kind of stuff. Do you guys, as super friends, do you want to hear a dedicated episode, bonus episode from us sometime in the near future?
Yeah.
Yeah, something dedicated specifically to a spoiler-filled Star Wars Last Jedi review, or would you rather we just kind of, you know, bring it into a regular show here for you guys, you know, in the near future as well? Something to think about for you. But Adam, what would you say about this movie?
You know, other than I liked it, it was different from what I expected. That's what I would say. And some of that in a good way and some of it in a mixed feelings kind of a way, which is why I think we need to have our third host here. watch it so we can actually discuss it in more depth. But what one thing I noticed that I wanted to mention, just with the mixed reviews coming in so far, people are coming out of this saying this is the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying this is the worst Star Wars movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And it all has to do with where you wanted it to go. And just interesting to see where the Star Wars fans, you know, they griped about the last, some of them griped about the last movie because it was identical to, you know, the first Star Wars, which, you know, I have to concede that point. Some of them loved it. And so it's like, well, we don't want to see something that's a rehash of what's before. And then it's complaints that, oh, well, this isn't Star Wars. This is different.
It wasn't enough like, you know, the one before it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like no pleasing everybody is all I want to say, but mm-hmm. it took it in a completely different direction. And I have to see it again. I want to see it twice so I can let it sink in and discuss further.
I have not seen this one, as you guys know, but I can definitely say it's not the worst.
You haven't?
No, I can definitely say it's not the worst Star Wars. That is episode one.
You know, I heard
episode one did suck.
On this this Minnesota Vikings podcast I listened to it's actually a pretty good show called The Norse Code. If you're into football stuff, they break down the games and everything else. But they were talking, they had a little segment where they were talking about kind of geeky stuff here. And I think it was just last week. And they talked about something called the Machete Theory. Have you guys heard of that?
It's about the movie Machete?
No, it's about Star Wars. Basically, what they do is there's a blog out there, which it's not like some big famous thing. I mean, he got famous because people liked his idea. But it's this theory that of the order you should watch the Star Wars movies in. And, you know, a lot of people will look at it and say, well, watch them chronologically from episode one through now.
Three, four, five, six, seven.
Well,
four,
what his
four,
theory
five,
does.
Six, seven, eight.
And I don't have, I'm looking to see if I can find it. But essentially, the order is that people should watch episodes 4 and 5. Followed by episodes 1 through 3, and then throw out episode 1. So it's episode A New Hope, Empire Strikes
Everybody
Back.
Everybody agrees. Throw out episode 1.
Yeah, he says throw out episode 1.
What are midichlorians?
Yeah, because it has no real bearing on the story. And they say this is actually the best way to give you the most well-rounded story. So you watch New Hope, Empire, and then episodes 2 and 3, and then go back and watch Jedi, and you know, finish everything out from there. And they said it's a much more immersive experience. And something I'm kind of curious to try, because obviously I've seen them all at this point. The newest one only once, but up through Force Awakens, I've seen that a couple times. And the older ones a number of times. So it'd be interesting to watch in a new order like that, because they say it really drives the story.
Now, do they mention where Rogue One goes?
They said do not add that into the list because it does nothing at all. Just like episode 1, Phantom Menace does nothing at all to actually enhance. Yeah.
And the new Han Solo one might be in the same boat there.
Yep, very likely.
You know my recommendation on how to watch them? You want to watch The Wizard of Oz with Dark Side of the Moon. Booyah.
What has a lot to do with Star Wars.
It does.
I threw this to Adam in the beginning because I didn't want to answer how this movie was, because Adam will tell you, he asked me when I told him I had seen it, he asked me right away, well, what did you think? And I said, I'm not saying anything because it's really tough to answer without spoiling and really also without putting in, preset notions of, you know, what your friends are saying about it. So you kind of go into it thinking a certain way. It really needs to be seen as best as you can. Making up your own mind, keeping an open mind to it, because it's a wild ride.
Well, some people thought it was really startling that Rey turned out to be a guy, but look at the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from Ghostbusters, Rey.
Yeah. Thanks.
So I think you're onto a good point here, Dave. There's a lot of times when it comes to movie reviews, especially with Star Wars, that so you watch it, you see reviews, you get this is the most opinionated, movie in geek culture, basically, and these
nerds.
It's hard to formulate your own opinion when you're bombarded by all these other ones. But you know what? Watch it for yourself. Make up your own mind on whether you liked it or not. Right. So there's some things I did like and I really liked. There's some things I didn't.
Right.
And I think everyone needs to agree with me on that.
Yeah. No. I'm just kidding. I'm excited for us to do a deeper dive into it. To steal my own phrase, I use way too often, but and go into a full-on spoiler talk once Jason sees it. And listeners, yep. Don't worry. If we do it during a regular episode, we'll give you plenty of warning during the episode and everything else on when to fast forward this to and everything else. But
right.
I think we're leaning towards doing just a special episode for you guys.
I think it would make sense because otherwise, yep. When we talk about it, the topic's just going to keep going and take the whole show and everyone's right. Going to be like, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Right. I mean, and we talked just briefly pre-show along the same line of maybe going once a month and having a bonus like this, but we're still kicking that around where we just kind of pick a movie and hash it out, spoiler filled, everything else. Might be a new movie, might be an old classic, who knows, but something exactly. We're kicking around, but Star Wars right. Talk will be coming as soon as Jason can get to see it. So,
yep. At the very least, I would say I recommend it. Go see it. So
yeah, well
with
worth
that,
your time.
I think it's time for a little bit of Gonna Geek.
Yeah, so this week, as you know, we are part of the Gonna Geek Network, which you can find over at GonnaGeek.com. We want to talk about one of the other fantastic shows over there called PopX Cast. And what they say they have going on right now, it's episode 67, Stranger Things 2, where they do a bit of a series review and talk about a few other things on there. And so they're going to talk about their description of the show, from too many 80s pop culture references to count, and superior acting skills from some seasoned film veterans like Sean Astin, Paul Reiser, Winona Ryder. Stranger Things 2 delivers on so many levels. Fans will love each season in their own respective ways. Team PopX dives into all things good and nerdy with candid moments, Easter eggs, and more. So go check out that episode if you're a fan of Stranger Things, which we are here. And
do they actually say they're going to dive into all things good and nerdy?
Absolutely. Their promo copy says exclusively they will dive into all things good and
nerdy. Well, if you're going to dive into anything, it should definitely be digital
so
soup.
They took our catchphrase and applied it to all things good and nerdy.
Yeah. So the epic troll. No, and it makes me wonder. I know All Things Good and Nerdy made a comment about it too, I think, where on their episode that came out this morning, wondering if they did their show read or something, because it tags the title of their podcast exactly. So but check out PopX Cast over on GunnaGeek.com. So
that's funny.
Awesome. Yeah. And now it's time for the Weekly Garnish.
Money, 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 money. Annihilation.
Dave, let's tell us a little bit about Annihilation.
Well, I don't know how to explain it. What this is, I linked up the trailer in the show notes, and I can't urge you guys enough to go check this out, because this was one of the trailers that played in front of Star Wars. Well, maybe. Do it, guys. Check it out.
It's insane.
You got a little Arnold in there.
Do it now. Before we get annihilated. There's a bomb.
But this was a trailer that was on the front of Star Wars when I went and watched that here. And it stars a pretty big cast. Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson. I couldn't figure out, though. It looks really cool. But I can't figure out if it's supposed to be a horror movie, sci-fi, fantasy, mystery. It's kind of got all kinds of notes through there.
And I watched this trailer on YouTube and texted it over to Dave, like, hey, check this out. And he's like, yep, I know. This is according to Wikipedia, Annihilation is a science fantasy action horror film.
Yeah.
Based on a book by the same name.
Okay.
Scheduled to be released next February. And it is about a group of soldiers entering an environmental disaster zone, and only one comes back alive, but he's grievously injured.
Mm-hmm.
And in an attempt to save his life, his wife, Lena, a biologist, volunteers for a second expedition into the zone to figure out what happened.
¿Qué pasa?
And it's got some beautiful visuals.
Yeah, the trailer looks pretty cool.
Can I tell you what my theory? I've only seen the trailer just like you guys. But mm-hmm. you know what my theory is of what's going on? Do you guys have a theory?
No.
No.
I think it's alien terraforming. They are preparing our planet for them to inhabit it.
You mean alien like the series, the franchise Alien?
No, just...
No, illegal aliens.
Yeah, illegal aliens. Hey, puto.
No, I just meant... Whoa. Like, no.
I can't believe you said that, Adam.
Jeez.
I just meant like, are you talking about this being fitting in somewhere in the series
No, I'm just talking about... That's the premise
an
of
alien,
it.
An alien
aliens
life form.
Are Extra. You know terraforming our planet so that they can take it over.
Okay.
Only in this case, it might be terraforming. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Jenga. Oh, yeah.
Jenga. I mean, I'm looking at this trailer again. I got the sound off, so I can't hear what they're saying, but visually it is beautiful.
Oh, and it is.
I'll tell you what, this movie, it could be, you know, watching some crazy awesome video game right now. I mean, aside from the fact that it's live action, but it really has a look like kind of a mix of that Uncharted and exploration and all of a sudden the bright colors from like Avatar and stuff, but outer space and all this weird stuff. And it looks really good. So go check out this trailer because see what you guys think. I mean, I think we're all in agreement. It looks super interesting, but it's really hard to classify it.
Sci-fi. It's easy to classify.
Well, for
me, I already classified it like twice.
Yeah. I know, but for me, it seems like there's so many. I mean, it's a hard thing. Like you say,
it's horror, a rom-com.
You know, sci-fi, fantasy, horror, you know, et cetera, action. It's like,
well, it's from the people that did Ex Machina, so you know it's in that genre. Yeah.
Did
you guys ever see Ex Machina?
I saw a preview of it.
It was actually pretty interesting. It's pretty decent.
Isn't it where he builds that robot or something?
Yeah, it's General Hux from Star Wars is like the main character dude, and there's another guy that builds these super lifelike androids. It's pretty interesting, pretty good. Check it out.
Maybe that's one we can, if we decide to do this monthly bonus, we can add that to the list. And
true that.
I would love this Annihilation to be a movie that we do because I am a huge sci-fi fan. I mean, unlike you guys, you're all just about the documentaries, but I love, you know, science fiction. Yep.
Those documentaries. We talk about The Notebook, but
Adam, what was your favorite documentary again? What was that
mine?
One? Yeah, like Ragnarok or something?
Yep, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I like that one.
Ancient
civilization. I like that one documentary I saw this fall, It. That was pretty interesting.
I've actually seen some real documentaries that I enjoyed, but right now I can't think of what they were.
Ken Burns, Civil
there's
War.
A lot of good ones.
Well, I did watch those ones about sugar, you know, being a diabetic and all. I did watch those. There were two different ones. Sugar, I can't remember what they were called. How they just put sugar in like everything. But we could talk about this for, you know, hours. So let's, let's keep going on with this garnish here to...
Yeah, but I mean, that's all I had. I have the link down in the show notes. If you go to digitalsouppodcast.com website for this episode, you'll be able to click and watch the trailer right there on the site. We won't even make you leave. It's right there.
Oh, you won't make me leave? Oh, thank you.
Get out. So
we'll boot you from the site.
Get out of here. I would just love to see what our listeners think because this to me looks really interesting. And I like that your main cast is some pretty big names, female actors right now, which is refreshing where they're building an entire team of these, you know, strong women. And, you know, everyone.
Yeah, it's hard to find a movie with a female
girl
leader.
Girl power.
Well, no, I mean, it's a, let me clarify, I guess. You see a lot of movies where they have a strong female lead, but they're using the idea that female lead is strong because she's acting like a man, kind of. I don't know how to explain it, but. Wonder Woman is a great example where they did it well. You know, this was just a super awesome role model. And this one looks, you know, with the cast and everything, hopefully they pull it off well. It looks like they've got some good star power to make this thing, hopefully, you know, finish up as good as it looks right now in the trailers.
Absolutely. I think it looks pretty cool. But check it out for yourselves, guys. And speaking of finishing up, you can check us out on digitalsouppodcast.com. You can find all of our links to all of our social media, anywhere where you can subscribe to us, including iTunes. Leave us a review if you're able to. 5 stars preferable. we won't accept anything less. Okay, I know some of you might put a 3. But we'll take what we can get. And if you want to join us on our social media, have the conversation with us, we've got our community group on Facebook. And of course, as always, up until the end of this month, please submit your submission. Submit your submission. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to leave it out there. Submit your submission to us. Enter your name and your everyday carry.
Enter your entry.
A chance to win. Yep, enter your entry for your chance to win a winnings of the VPN of VPN-ness. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all of you listeners out there, we love you. We'll catch you next week. Thanks.
Remember, # save the riddle. Later, guys.
Later, Gators. Hey, you guys want to go eat at an eatery right now? I'm hungry.
Yeah, I want to later my gator. Gator at the gatery.
Have you ever tried gator?
No, but I heard it tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken. Why is that?
I'll tell you what, if I wanted chicken. Something that tastes like chicken, I'll eat chicken.
I wonder if humans taste like chicken.
Oh, man.
Don't wonder.
Oh, no.
I'll figure it out. You know, if we ever get the zombie virus, we'd all figure it out.
Hey, Chad. Yeah.
But
Jason,
then your taste buds
health.
Are ruined.
Grains.